Welcome to another episode of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Werner, and with me today is Gabe Zamit. How's it going, man?
It's going good. How are you, man?
Doing well. What people don't know is we had a very long and tumultuous time trying to get this to record. So I am happy to announce that we completed what we needed to be able to do this. But why don't you give people a couple seconds on yourself and kind of what you do for Friends with Fantasy Benefits?
Yeah, so I am just starting with Friends with Fantasy Benefits. So this year, I wrote our preview for our draft guide on the White Sox and the preview for the Oakland Athletics. And then also, I took a crack at the top 100 outfielders, which is that was a task, man. That was tough.
I'm sure. It's rankings is always tough this time of year just because there's a lot of moving pieces and you still don't know where some guys are going to land. And it's always a tough time of year to do that stuff. But we're glad to have you. And speaking of the White Sox, that's the team we're going to cover today. As far as Twitter goes, you can find me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. Where can they find you, Gabe?
I'm at Gabe Zamit. So that's GABEZAMMIT.
Awesome. All right, let's run through the White Sox. Obviously, last season, from a just pure baseball perspective, didn't go swell for them. But at the same time, it's a rebuilding year. It is what it is. As far as the offseason goes, they lost Avisail Garcia to free agency. They also lost Matt Davidson, who had a pretty solid beginning of the season last year. A couple other minor pieces lost. But let's talk about the first man that really needs to be talked about here is Jose Abreu. What did you think about his 2018 and what might we expect for 2019 for Jose?
Actually, as far as 2018 goes, the numbers are a little deceiving because he was playing hurt for part of the season. So he did have only 22 homers, which, a lot of people are going to look at that and they're going to go, okay, he's 32. He's starting that decline, but, I don't know if I see that this year. I think he's going to be good. His upside, as you said, is obviously capped in that lineup because it's rough. That lineup is rough, but, I'm expecting a little bit of a bounce back from him. His 2018, the biggest thing was the batting average. That's the biggest thing. So you look at his batting average and it dipped. Usually what you count on from him is batting average and good power. And you didn't really get either last year because of that injury. So I'm hoping for a return to form for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, last year was a abbreviated stint for him just because of the injuries itself. As far as the batting average, I do think we're going to see that regress a little bit. I don't think he's an automatic 300 type guy anymore. Baseball HQ uses a great stat called expected batting average, and he sat at 276 last year. Has a ground ball tilt to his swing. He always has, but based on his power metrics, his barrel percentage and exit velocity was still pretty similar to what he did in past years. But as far as what we can expect for 2019, another year older, he's going to be in his age 32 season. The lineup around him doesn't really matter to me. I'm more looking to see what he'll do in the power department. And right now, my tentative projection would be somewhere around 26 to 28 home runs, 280 average, and maybe 75 to 80 RBIs. And I think that's pretty fair. He has slipped in drafts thus far compared to where he's been in the last few years. I mean, he ended up being the 20th first baseman on the ESPN player rater last year. So I think that he can be had for a pretty decent cost going into drafts this season. It's just you kind of have to know what you're going to expect out of him. I would temper expectations. Don't expect a 30, 35 home run season. It's going to be just a little bit down from what we've seen in years past, I would assume.
Yeah, I actually would agree with your assessment. I think I would peg him for maybe a little more power. I'm thinking he can get back to 30. I don't see, some people I've seen are saying maybe he gets back to 35, and I don't know if I see that. His, his ISO is dipped as well. And like you said, just the ground ball thing, that's, as a White Sox fan, I've seen plenty of that just in how he's been hitting. The one thing that I think could be a difference maker for him is – if you play in an OBP league, I might go a little earlier on him just because he with the exception of last year because of the dip in average, he's usually pretty good in OBP. He's got a decent walk percentage. So I might reach for him a little bit there.
Yeah, he was a little more patient last year in terms of, like, his first pitch strike rate went up to 63%, which in the years past it was like 57, 59. So he was letting the first pitch go by more so than any other year. He was also swinging outside the zone a bit more as well. But just all kind of minor things. I think Abreu is going to be a fine player. And right now he can be had within the top 90 as opposed to the top 30, which was last season. So I think it's a pretty decent discount for a guy that you know what you're going to get out of. Let's move it to Tim Anderson, probably the second best player on this team as of right now. Last year had a pretty good fantasy season, ended up going for 20 home runs and 26 RBIs for the year. Did kind of slip up in the second half with a .231 batting average, but what's your thoughts on Anderson coming into 2019?
I really like Anderson going into this year. He lowered his K percentage last year and raised his walk percentage. The big thing for Anderson is going to be right now, Roster Resource has him slated to bat at the bottom of the lineup, which, that's not great, but you got to think if he starts hot like he did last year, he's going to move up or he's got to bat in the one or two spot. He's one of their more dynamic hitters. So, if that's the case and if they give him the green light and he starts to steal a little bit more too, I don't see why he couldn't surpass last year's numbers and maybe, give you a 20-30. I mean, that might be lofty. But I think it's within reason to ask for that.
Yeah, I've always been an Anderson fan. He's definitely more suited for 5x5 leagues with batting average, not on base percentage. While he did take up his OBP last year, it was .281.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's just one of those things where, I look at a guy that runs and you're totally right. His OBP is not great, but if he's on base even a little bit more, that's that much more chance that he might get, another steal here or there.
Yeah, and the White Sox were a top six team, I want to say, in stolen base attempts per game last season, and they do have some speed on their team. So I think that he will continue to steal bases. He has a really good speed score as well. I haven't dipped into his, the Baseball Savant page and looked at his speed metrics, but I'm assuming he's one of the fastest guys in the league. You can just kind of tell when you watch him, but there's not really much analysis to give here. I think you're going to end up getting double digit home runs, probably in the 15 area. He's going to steal more than 20 bases, probably closer to 30 than 20, I would say. Batting average is going to be anywhere between, 250, 260. Last year he hit 240, but that was with a really slumped second half. And his walk rate is going to continue to be just kind of mediocre at best. But going about pick 115 right now at the shorts or just overall shortstop, number 14 off the board, I don't really disagree with that. I think that that's fair. He could go a little bit later for me, but I think that that's pretty fair based on what you can expect, and the lineup could get a little bit better too depending on what happens with their team. So
and the other thing I think you got to look at is shortstop, that position as a whole is so much deeper this year than it has been. I mean, just the last year or two, it's we've seen this influx of talent at shortstop, whereas I remember playing 7-8 years ago, shortstop was terrible. So if you miss out or you don't want to spend on those top guys at the draft because it doesn't fit your strategy, you can wait on a guy like Tim Anderson and it's not going to kill you. He's going to be a good, a good fit for some teams depending on your construction.
I agree. And last year, just to put it in perspective, he ended up as the 12th shortstop on the ESPN Player Rater. So there you go. He's pretty much being taken for what he finished last year. And I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Continuing to go down the roster here, I think the biggest player to talk about next is a pretty polarizing talent. That's Yoan Moncada. Obviously one of the biggest gets in their deal. I believe it was for Chris Sale at the time. What do you feel about Moncada this year? Last year, he ended up with a .235 batting average, but he did walk 10% of the time. Real problem with strikeouts. His batting average obviously reflects that. 17 home runs and 12 stolen bases though. What are you thinking for 2019?
Man, I want to like Moncada. Just so again, this is like as a White Sox fan, I want him to be so good. I really do. But he's just, man, he's infuriating. It's like he can't figure out how to make good contact, and that's his biggest problem. He strikes out a lot, which is striking out is not always a bad thing. Look at someone like Joey Gallo. He strikes out a ton, but when he hits the ball, he really hits the ball. So the big thing with Moncada is going to be, is he going to be able to make good contact this year? And, if he can't make good contact, he can't get on base, then he's not going to stay at the top of the lineup, which is where he's slated right now. He does have that speed power potential, which is like, of course, really, really desirable in any fantasy league. But I don't know. He's a risky pick. Like I'm going to take him. I know I am, just because I can't help myself. But it's hard for me to endorse for other people to take him.
Yeah, I mean, he does hit the ball hard, and you can kind of see that when you watch him. When he does make contact, he does strike it hard. He has a 44% hard hit percentage on Baseball Savant for last year, and that was on a ton of events. What was it? Almost 400 batted ball events, and he also has over a 9.5 barrel percentage. So he does definitely hit the ball hard. I love Moncada. I always have, and I don't think I'll be able to quit him this year either. He's somebody that just has a ton of tools, and I think at some point he's going to be able to kind of put it all together. His body is amazing in terms of athleticism and just being able to get on base as a pro for him. Right now he's being taken in the top 150. That's ahead of guys like Daniel Murphy or Cesar Hernandez, Jonathan Scope, behind like Rougned Odor, Robinson Cano, Brian Dozier. I think that that's fair because it's an upside pick, especially in kind of shallower formats. You can take him with the hopes that he is able to rein in it a bit with the strikeouts. And I'm not even talking about him being a 30 or 25% strikeout rate guy. I'm more or less hoping that he can bump it up to like a 30% rate. If he bumps it up there, he has good enough on base skills to where he can, maybe bat 245, 250, and that gives him more opportunities to steal. Maybe he gets to 15 to 20 stolen bases this year. Maybe the power can, he already can hit the ball very hard, and he has a 40% fly ball rate last season. So I think everything is kind of in the cards for him to have a little bit of a boost, maybe 20 home runs and, 18 steals somewhere around there, with the on-base percentage being above 320 or something. I think that that's fair. So I really like Moncada this year. I'm not going to put like a staple on him, like I'm going to have him on every team or something like that. But I do think that he's a well worth investing in, at least as of right now, just based on draft cost alone.
Yeah. So you're saying 30% K rate, that would be a career high.
Yes.
For him, which I agree. I think if he can get up there, that would be huge. I was going to ask you, so you mentioned Daniel Murphy and he's going right after him, and he's, that big signing out, in Colorado. So would you take Moncada over Murphy? Or is it, like you said, it's an upside play, but I don't know, man. Murphy could hit like 320 or something like that. And be, just contributing across the board.
Sure. Yeah. And I think what Murphy kind of lacks in steals, makes up for in batting average for sure. He's not a big walker though. So I think I would take Moncada still, just because of the tools that he has, and for fantasy being able to steal, and steals being something that we need heavily right now, especially the last couple of years. That's why somebody like Raul Mondesi or Adalberto Mondesi is up there in the ADP cost, et cetera. But yes, as of right now, I'd take Moncada, but I'd still love Murphy where he's going. That's definitely a tantalizing pick.
I think I would be, where I'd be all over Moncada is if you're in a dynasty league and you can find a frustrated owner, who had him last year, that now might be the only time. And I don't even know if you can buy low, but now might be the only time you can buy Moncada from someone, because you're going to be able to say, hey, I'm willing to take the risk. And yeah, he could still be good, and you might still have to pay a premium for him. But if you do believe in him, which I do personally, I'm looking at him and I'm going, okay, is he gonna put it all together this year, or is it gonna be a slower curve? Because he's only 23, so it could be one of those things where he does have a slower breakout, and maybe he improves this year, like you were saying, and he shows those improvements, and then the breakout is still, another year away, and then he just really booms and becomes that five tool stud that everyone was hoping he would be when he got traded to the Sox.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be his age 24 season. So there you go.
You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Let's transition over to the top prospect for the White Sox. And while we always do prospect shows as well with Matt and Justin, Eloy Jimenez is certainly somebody we're talking about for the 2019 season alone. Right now, going about top 100 in NFBC drafts. There's been about 40 NFBC drafts to date for the 2019 season thus far. So pretty decent amount of data at this point. But Eloy can hit. He can hit in every way. I don't really see a glaring problem in his game. He doesn't strike out much. He has a very good eye at the plate. Not the biggest walk rate in the world, but I think that he's going to be up sometime in April. How about you?
Yeah, I want him to be up in April. It's all a bet on his playing time. So if that's the way the tea leaves are reading, is that he's going to be up in April, he's going to come up after the first, you know, 2-3 weeks, then I think a spending where he's going is absolutely reasonable. But the White Sox, man, their organization is they have slow rolled guys before where they'll take their time, and there's times where they bring them right up. So I think you got to pay attention in spring training. Hopefully you don't have a draft now where you've got to make that call. I don't know if I would pull the trigger on that now, but you're absolutely right. He's going to be a monster. Dude, when he comes up, I think it's absolutely within the realm of possibility for him to be batting, you know, 260, 270 this year and chip in 25 homers. He's got immense power. I mean, he's going to be a 40 homer guy, I think, when he's at his peak.
Yeah, 35 to 40, I agree. He just has a premium bat. I don't love the speed, but for fantasy, he's a batting average asset. It's probably going to help in on-base percentages. Well, I mean, he had a 399 OPP in Charlotte and 211 at-bats last year. So that's I think that goes to show you just how good he can actually be at the plate. With Eloy, I'm not going to take him in the top 100. Just I'm not the type of person that does that. I didn't take Ronald Acuna up there last year either, and obviously I was wrong. But I think Eloy, when he does come up, is going to be a stud, and I don't think anybody would really argue that at this point.
Yeah.
Let's move on to an offseason trade that the White Sox made. Yonder Alonso, we don't have to spend a ton of time here, but he is slated to hit somewhat towards the middle of the lineup, fourth behind Jose Abreu at this moment. What do you think about Yonder Alonso right now? More of just a deep league guy, right?
Yeah, he is. And I actually really like him a lot late. You know, if you can get him at your corner, he's a really good get late. You know, his breakout was a couple years ago. Last year, he was exposed a little bit against lefties. You can't do worse late in the draft than Alonso, especially if he can figure out those splits. You know, you might have a real, real bargain on your hands.
Yeah, I mean, he made those changes prior to the 2017 season to up his power, change his launch angle, et cetera. And, you know, in 2017 had 28 home runs with a .266 average. Last year, it kind of dwindled down a bit, but he's always been kind of a platoon guy. Much better against righties, .274 in his career with a 10% walk rate versus .233 with a 7% against lefties. But I think he's a decent little guy for them, especially against righties. I like the sell for left-handed power as well. So I think that he's a pretty decent guy late to grab, especially in AL-only formats. But pretty decent corner as well, especially in deeper mixed. So there's not much to really add there. I think that he's a pretty solid get for the White Sox. How about Wellington Castillo? I know they have James McCann there. They added him as well. I think that there's a chance that they play both of them in the same lineup, especially against lefties. Although I think off the top of my head, McCann has about the same splits against lefties and righties. But regardless, what do you think about Castillo coming into the season as he plays for the worst position in fantasy?
Yeah, dude, catcher is a mess this year. And Castillo, you know, he got busted for PEDs and last year, and nothing worked out for him. You know, he didn't have a great year, especially following, I think, what everyone was hoping would be just a real solid output at the position last year. I don't think he's a bad option, especially if you decide to wait at catcher. But I don't know. I wouldn't be excited about taking him. McCann, same thing. We very well could see McCann end up splitting more time than just being like a weak side platoon bat. But the catcher for the White Sox is not a position I would be excited about drafting.
I don't mind Castillo. He's somebody that's always been more offensive based, and you know, his batting average crept up the last couple of years prior to 2018. And I understand, you know, PED use might have played a hand in that, but at the same time, he always has had a, you know, 320 to 330 BABIP throughout his career for the most part. Not the best offensive skills in terms of batting eye, et cetera. Not the greatest walk rate, and, you know, strikes out almost 30% of the time as well. But I think he has a little bit of pop in there. You know, if he ends up getting 350 in at-bats or 340, I think that he can hit 10 to 15 home runs. And that's serviceable in this landscape of catchers. So I like Castillo. He's going about pick 300 right now, 280. I think that that's a pretty decent get for him. James McCann, I would have to see the role. I don't know how these two are going to shake out. But for now, if you're doing drafts now, I think that I would put Castillo ahead of McCann. But I don't.
Oh, for sure.
I wouldn't dismiss taking McCann in deeper formats, especially like your Tout Wars and Labor 2 catcher. AL-only formats where you have to roster two guys. I think that McCann's a decent second catcher to have. He's not going to be great by any means, but, you know, he's somebody that can put up some stats and, you know, a couple home runs here or some decent batting average, you know, that type of thing. As far as the rest of the offense, you have Daniel Palka, Nicky Delmonico, Adam Engel. Those are the guys that are kind of penciled in to the starting nine right now. You also have Yomer Sanchez, who I think is probably the most interesting of all of them. Just because he, you know, did steal, I think, 12 bases last year, and he was kind of, you know, a serviceable AL-only asset. But other than that, I don't really see much to talk about.
Yeah, Sanchez, you're right. Sanchez is probably the one who has the most tangible upside, you know, someone that you're going to be able to get later. The hard thing with him is he's going to lose his second base eligibility this year, so that hurts quite a bit. But if you're looking for, you know, a little bit of speed and some meager pop late, you can't do worse. I actually kind of like Palka this year. It's just going to be, you know, does he stay in the lineup enough to be worth having on your squad? Because he just strikes out so much that, you know, I very easily could see him getting pushed out of the lineup if one of the other guys does hit and then they decide to bring Eloy up and Palka becomes just a part-time player.
Well, they could. I'm not just saying this. There has been possibilities of this, but they could have Bryce Harper and Eloy in the outfield. Come.
Oh man, you know, don't May. Please. So. that would be the dream offseason for a White Sox fan.
Yeah, I loved seeing, you know, Bryce Harper's name like on the Jumbotron like what months ago they put his name up there. So I feel like there's something to that. I don't know.
Yeah, I would not complain one bit.
Let's move to the rotation. Carlos Rodon came off of a pretty decent season, ups and downs, but for the most part, I was happy with what I saw from him in 2018. What's your thoughts on 2019 for right now, the I guess, proverbial ace for the White Sox?
Yeah, he's going really late, so I actually like Rodon a lot. You can get him, you know, outside of the top 70 or so starting pitchers in a lot of drafts. So the big question I have for Rodon is he going to be able to strike guys out? You know, that was something for a long time people were saying because of the whiff rate that he had on a slider that he was going to be able to K guys at will. And he that's the one thing he didn't do last year, but he did put up some really strong innings. So, you know, if he can get that K rate up, I think you're going to have a steal on your hands.
Yeah, I don't mind Rodon, especially where he's going in drafts. I'm trying to look up his exact cost, but he is somewhere outside of the top 70 starters.
I think it's like 78 or so, last I looked.
Yeah, and right now, Ronaldo Lopez, who we can, you know, touch on for a couple minutes, he's going 92nd at starter right now overall on NFBC. And I think that that's pretty apt based on what Rodon did last year. I, you know, always will worry about the durability. He made 20 starts. He's only made 32 starts over the last couple of seasons based on shoulder problems and other injuries, but 4.18 ERA, 1.26 WHIP. The metrics said that his ERA should have been worse, so that kind of worries me as well. But, you know, for the most part, put up some serviceable innings. His last 15 starts were a little bit better, but yeah, the strikeout rate is kind of where I worry. The velocity is fine for a lefty, but his first pitch strike rate was, you know, 56%, which kind of hurt his walk rate during those 15 starts, which was, you know, 4.5 walks per nine. He needs to get ahead more, and his swing strike rate is below league average, 9%. That's not going to play for strikeouts. You know, usually this is a guy that, you know, before last season was an 11% swinging strike rate guy and over 9 Ks per 9. So if he can tick that back up, and I'm assuming that has something to do with his slider, he probably just needs to, you know, add some bite to it, you know, that he probably didn't have last year versus other years. But if he's able to kind of really get that slider going, which is his best pitch in my opinion, then I think that we can see him put up a, you know, another 4-ish ERA with strong strikeouts. You know, 8 per 9 is something I would like to see from him. And, you know, playing for the White Sox, you're not going to get a lot of wins, but I don't think that really matters anymore.
Right.
Innings-wise, I'm hoping that he hits the 145 to 150 mark. He had 121 last year, so I don't think that that's out of the question. How about you?
Yeah, I think that he could probably get up to 150. You know, it depends on how much they're monitoring his innings. You know, you mentioned his slider and his whiff rate. I don't know how often he threw it. I don't have that on hand, but his whiff rate on his slider was close to 40%. So his slider's is definitely his most effective out pitch. And then, you know, you talked about his ERA too. It was 4.18, but that was because in September, the dude got lit up. Like his September ERA was 9.22.
Yeah.
Before that, his ERA was 2.7. So I kind of like it does make me cautiously optimistic, and I'm going, okay, maybe there is something here, and Rodon could be a steal. Maybe he was just tired down the stretch because he was coming off shoulder rehab. Or, you know, I can make up a lot of excuses. I'm a White Sox fan, so I can make up excuses all day. But I do think he's pretty good. And then you talked about Lopez, too. I like Lopez, too, but the guy has the same issue. It's is he going to strike people out? And if he can't, then, you know, he's going to be a decent inning eater, but he's going to drag down your K-9.
Sure. You know, with Rodon, he threw his sliders 26% of the time last year.
Okay.
It was his best pitch based on the metrics, at least. His fastball has been fairly bad for the majority of his career, which I don't really see. I can understand the command being bad, but I like the bite on his fastball. So I don't really agree with the metrics on that. Although, you know, I'm not saying I'm smarter than metrics, but, his slider is his best pitch, and if he continues to, you know, use that at 26%, which is basically what he averaged throughout his career, then I think he'll end up, you know, popping the strikeouts back up. It's just more or less what this says to me is that his fastball command kind of waned a bit from the shoulder injury, and he
yep.
needs a full offseason to really kind of correct those problems, and I think that we'll see him, you know, bump his fastball back up to being at least serviceable. As far as Lopez goes, I go back and forth on him. I think that he's a worthy guy to grab that late in drafts as the 92nd pitcher off the board overall. I still worry about him just in general from, you know, not just a strikeout perspective, but just getting rocked. I mean, there's random occasions where he just gets rocked, and, you know, it's hard for, especially in, you know, head-to-head categories to, you know, make up a week when you had him, you know, go off for, you know, 9 earned runs in 5 innings pitched or something like that. It's just a rough thing to kind of overcome. But, you know, for the season last year, he went almost 190 innings with a 3.91 ERA. That's a great, you know, his best, by far his best season to date. The problem was though, he had an expected ERA of 5.05, and that's not going to get it done. He's a fly ball heavy pitcher, somebody that does struggle with first pitch strike rate a lot of times and doesn't have the best swing and miss stuff. I think the best part about him is he has a high velocity fastball, almost 96 miles an hour is what he averaged last year. And other than that, I don't really see a lot to love, but I still think he's tantalizing based on his velocity and based on his stuff alone. So I mean I don't think he's a bad pick, but I would expect him to regress from last year, not get better.
Right. Yeah, I think I wouldn't mind rostering him, especially in a roto league. I think where I would be paying attention is he making some improvements on his secondary stuff, because like you said, his fastball, that's the premium pitch where he's, you know, he's got some heat on that thing. If he can get some more swings and misses on the secondary stuff, then, you know, maybe we're not going to be talking about him as a guy, you know, who underperformed his xERA, but maybe he actually is a sub 4 ERA pitcher, and he'll be a solid contributor, like as a SP4, you know, at the end of the year.
Yeah, the slider is the only pitch that I, you know, think it's decent as far as secondary offerings. Other than that, his fastball is the best offering he has. But the rest of the starting rotation, you have Ivan Nova slated to be the second starter on this team thus far. Lucas Giolito, who has a bad fastball, not a very good curveball, very bad command, had one good month last year, but I am not sold on Giolito. How about you?
No, I'm out on Giolito. He's got to show it to me. I've bought in too many times. I've been burned too many times by him. I just don't think he's even a sub five guy this year, sub five ERA. I think he's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah, you take out his August. He had an ERA over five in 5 of 6 months, somewhere around there. So, I just there's not much for me to say. I think that he's awful. As far as the bullpen goes, they obviously traded for Alex Colome. Is he the kind of clubhouse favorite for saves right now?
He's got to be. I mean, he hasn't been named the closer yet, but Nate Jones is. He's just always hurt, and I don't think they want to rely on him as the closer. Even if it meant for trade reasons, but it kind of is, it's starting to appear that the White Sox are maybe not in full, rebuild mode anymore. Like they're actually trying to establish something here. So if that's the case, then I don't see why they wouldn't use Colome. And he had a good year last year, especially when he went over to Seattle.
Yeah. Being a Rays fan, I think that Colome is on the downslope. Not the kind of uptick side of things. I don't even know what that means, uptick side. But I don't think that he is trending upwards. I think right now he's somebody that's going to be serviceable, but I don't think he keeps that job. So I think Nate Jones is the better asset to look for. But there's not going to be a lot of saves in Chicago, in my opinion, anyways. So I think that, based on just looking at kind of Lima targets, guys with good ratios that can help you out, that could, fall into saves at some point. Nate Jones, and then you mentioned the guy pre-show, Jace Fry. I like him.
Yep.
I covered the bullpen report for, Fangraphs for a good while last season, and Jace Fry was somebody that kind of always popped up on my radar. So Jace Fry and Nate Jones are the two guys other than Alex Colome that I would kind of look at. And Zach Birdie, maybe, from the minor leagues.
Yep. Yeah, I actually really like Jace Fry. If you look at his 2018, his ERA was a little inflated for what you'd want from a reliever, but his K9 is stellar. He had a low WHIP, and his FIP actually suggests that maybe he got a little unlucky with his ERA. His FIP was 2.67, where his ERA was 4.38. So I like Fry a lot, especially if Jones can't stay healthy and Colome sucks.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's the White Sox, so we don't know how many saves are available to them. But there's a part of that argument that could be they could go the other way too, because we've seen plenty of bad teams still get ample amount of saves. So I would say don't ignore someone just because they're on a bad team. They could still get you some saves and be useful. Just depends on where you get them in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just. Historically, if you're on a bad team, that you don't get as many opportunities. But I'm not saying to not draft Colome. I'm just not a fan of his skills. I think they're trending the opposite direction of what we want. But that's gonna wrap us up, Gabe. Why don't you once again tell everybody where they can reach you and where what you're working on?
So you can find me on Twitter at Gabe Zamit. So it's GabeZammit. I just finished with all of my stuff for the draft guide, so I don't have anything I'm presently working on, but I know I'm going to be gearing up pretty soon. I might be writing some stuff, commissioner pieces and things like that for leagues coming up here in the off season.
Awesome. It was fun to have you on, and thanks for joining as well. And as far as FWFB is concerned, we have the draft guide coming out. We have every single team preview podcast coming, along with the minor league prospect minute as well, with Matt Thompson and Justin Mason. And we just have a slew of new writers this year. Super excited about it, Gabe being one of them. And I think that we're going to have a really good year. So make sure you check out the draft guide. And thank you for listening. So good luck in your drafts.